Good morning. So, the reading this morning comes from 1 Corinthians chapter 13. If you are holding a pew Bible, that is on page 1153. And if you're not, the words are on the screen. If I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have a faith that can move mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and surrender my body to the flames, but have not love, I gain nothing. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It is not rude. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails. Where there are prophecies, they will cease. Where there are tongues, they will be stilled. Where there is knowledge, it will pass away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part, but when perfection comes, the imperfect disappears. When I was a child, I talked like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I put childish ways behind me. Now we see but a poor reflection as in a mirror. Then we shall see face to face. Now I know in part. Then I shall know fully, even as I am fully known. And now these three remain: faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. So, as you know, we're working our way through a series. We're looking at various bits to do with the idea of the church as a body. And at the end of 1 Corinthians 12, as we heard last week, Paul reinforces, goes back over what he's been saying again and again and again about the body of Christ, about the gathered church, both local and global. Now, he says, you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. And in the church, God has appointed first of all apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then workers of miracles, and also those having gifts of healing, those able to help others, those with gifts of administration, and those speaking in different kind of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Do all work miracles? Do all have gifts of healing? Do all speak in tongues? Do all interpret? But eagerly desire the greater gifts. So these are various gifts, variously given to various people at various times. Variously. Are all apostles? No. Are all prophets? No. Are all teachers? No, no, no. Each gift is given to the right person in the right place at the right time for the right reason and is a part of what God is doing in the church. And yet there is one principle behind it all, one factor that underpins everything that Paul has been saying, and that is love. Paul says, I will show you the most excellent way. Other translations say something slightly different, more excellent, or a better, or so on and so forth, but I like this one the best. A most excellent, most excellent way. Those of us who are old enough to remember Bill and Ted, or indeed young enough. Anyway, right, most excellent. So what is the most excellent way to apply the spiritual gifts? Simply this: to do so out of love. And Paul goes on to explain in 1 Corinthians 13 why that matters. If I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I am a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If we speak the words without love behind them, it's just a noise. When you hear a fire alarm, go off, what does that tell you? Exactly. The only thing it tells you is that the fire alarm's gone off. It doesn't tell you where there's a fire. It doesn't tell you if there's a fire. It doesn't tell you if this is a fire drill. It doesn't tell you if this is an electrical fault. It just tells you that the fire alarm's gone off. So unless there's meaning behind the gesture, unless there's meaning behind it, it's just a noise. We used to have a burglar alarm at Mallow Cottage, the big house where Trish and I lived. And, you know, big house, guest area. Yeah. And in all the years I lived there, the burglar alarm went off precisely twice. The first time was because mice had chewed through the cable. And the second time was because mice had chewed through the cable again. That's it. It was 3 o'clock in the morning. The police rocked up because that's what they do. We had blues and twos and vans and everything outside the house, checking, you know, the garden for mice in the garage. That's it. It's just a noise. It's just an irritating noise. Unless there is a meaning. Unless there is truth. Unless there is love. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and I have a faith that can move mountains, but have not love, I have nothing. There must be love behind it. If I give all I possess to the poor and surrender my body to the flames, but have not love, I gain nothing. Charitable acts, martyrdom even, giving everything, but doing so out of any motivation other than love, gains nothing. Jesus says this himself in the Sermon on the Mount, in Matthew, at the beginning of chapter 6. Hopefully I've got a bookmark in the right place. Matthew says, or Jesus says, beware of practicing your piety before others in order to be seen. For you will receive no reward for your Father in heaven. So when you give charitably, do not sound a trumpet before you, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, so that they may be praised by others. Truly I tell you, they have received their reward already. They've got what they wanted. They've got the attention. And that's all they're getting. That's all they're getting from God. Jesus is very clear. Paul is very clear. If we do the right things, if we make the right noises, but do not do so from a standpoint of love, we are wasting our time. And everybody else's. If we do these things without love, what's the point of us? If we do these things without openness, without a willingness to include, without a willingness to share, to bring alongside, then what are we doing? If we do these things, then we must do them out of love. Some say, of course, that there must be limits to this. You know, you can't just have everybody coming. We can't just include everybody. We can't just be open to every possibility. And God says, and I quote, "I'll be the judge of that." We all know that love sometimes means saying no. That sometimes love means saying stop it. That sometimes love means saying don't do that. But not all of the time. We know this as parents. We know this as children. If there's an emergency, if the child is going to touch the cooker, you shout. Because it's an emergency. But you don't shout all the time. For everything. Because it doesn't work. It's just a noise. So love includes. Love is generous. Love allows for the possibilities. Love allows for bigger ideas. Love allows for so much. Love is patient. Love is kind, does not envy, does not boast, it is not proud, it is not rude, it is not self-seeking, it is not easily angered. Love can include anger, but not easily. Not until you've reached the absolute limits. Love keeps no record of wrongs. Oops. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails. Love never ends. There might be limits to the possibilities of love, but we haven't found them yet. Because, and this is where it all ties together, whose love are we talking about? God's. This is God's love we're talking about. God's love shared in us, shared by us, for the benefit of all people. A love that gave everything. That gives everything continually, even now, to us, for us to share. And God's love is never ending. The gifts come and go, the right place, at the right time. Where there is prophecies, they will cease. Where there are tongues, they will be stilled. Where there is knowledge, it will pass away. Because it's a moment. It's a season. It's a context. It's a thing that happens when it needs to happen. And then it's done. And as we grow in faith, we come to know this. And we come to know more of what we don't know. And God says, that's exactly how it should be. We don't know what this church will look like a year from now, 5 years from now, 10 years from now. We don't really know what the world will look like 5 or 10 years from now. But we trust and we hope and we do the right thing. There's a cartoon you may have seen going around social media, of a big climate change conference, of all the things that we have to do. And somebody standing up at the back of the crowd and saying, but what if it's all a hoax and we make a better world for no reason? We do the right thing because it's the right thing to do. And knowledge, we know knowledge grows. We know knowledge develops. We know things change. Look back at the way you were taught history. In primary school, they went, these are the facts. And in secondary school, they went, these are the facts, and there's slightly more of them. And then at degree level, they go, everything you've been told up to now is wrong. And we know that there is stuff that we don't know. And we shouldn't fear that. We can worry about it. We can try and find out more. Inquisitiveness, it's a good thing. But there are things we're never going to know until we see God face to face. And that's how it is. That's what it says. Sooner or later, we must put away childish things, childish ways of being. And this is not to say that childish things are bad, but like the way we're taught history, things change. When I was a child, I spoke like a child, I thought like a child, I reasoned like a child. Fine. We grow older. We come to know that there are things we don't fully know, don't fully understand. And we sort of know. We sort of know that verse, that we see things like reflections in a mirror. It's right, there's so many different translations of it. And they're all beautiful. The old one from the King James, through a glass darkly. That you're looking into a mirror and it's a bit tarnished and a bit stained and you can't really tell what you're looking at, but you know it's sort of. You know sort of. Shifting shadows in a mirror. And you've got a rough idea. And so we work towards it. We go towards what we think God is doing. We sort of know and we sort of trust and we sort of go forward with God. And again it says, these three things remain. These three things abide. These three things stay with us. Faith and hope and love. And so we feel our way forwards. We look at the shifting shadows. And we try. And we trust. And we step out in faith. And we hope. And we sort of know. And we do this from love. From God's love in us. Shared with us, for everyone. And the greatest of these is love. Jesus tells the story of the Good Samaritan. And at the end he says to the person who asked the question in the first place, which of these acted out of love? And the people say, well, the one who helped, obviously. And Jesus goes, now you're getting it. Now you understand. Go and do thou likewise. Go and do the same. Let's pray. Let's take a moment to let God speak to us. How is God speaking to you? How is God asking you, telling you, challenging you to use your gifts to share His love? What is God asking of you?